So I thought maybe we should talk about a little bit. Talk about Elul, you know. Elul. So Elul's not so simple. We know that you know, in a very short period of time, you know, Hashanah's coming up. One of the biggest challenges that we have is that we know it's coming up. We know Rosh Hashanah is coming up. We know El is a time that Hashem's close to us. But practically, it's not so simple to really, we'll use the word feel that. Not a simple thing at all. And we are very, very challenged. People, I think in today, in general, in the world, are very challenged because we want to feel that quote-unquote relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we feel it? What do you do? What do you do to feel that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So some people go to Uman, right? So I don't think they should be making a trip to Uman. No Uman trip this year, right? Some people go to Uman. Why? Why do they go to Uman? Because they want to feel, they want to feel good. They want to feel that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So people are searching today, everybody's searching for that way to be able to feel that connection, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a relationship. That's the word today, relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it's not a simple thing. So it comes to Elul. So that's why people run to Uman. You know, it's not people leave their families. They run to Uman, right? Because they're lurking. They're looking. They're searching. So I think, and the Yetzer Hara, by the way, takes advantage very much of this problem. So-called problem that we have. Because the Yetzer Hara says to you, here it is, a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and come on, who are you fooling? Right? You feel Rosh Hashanah's coming. Right? It's very interesting. In the older generations, you know, I remember when I was growing up, there was a woman who, unfortunately, most of the year, she got to shul in a car on Shabbos, but when it hit El, from El to Simchas Torah, she didn't step foot in the car. She didn't come to shul because she's got to come to shul. The whole year she came to shul in a car, but she wouldn't come to El. So she was Margish something. She was Margish El. but Lamaisa, people seem to feel that we don't feel it. We need to feel it. How are we going to feel it, Rabosai? That's the question. How do we feel it? So I think number one, you know, this is the biggest, that's why I say it's the biggest trick that the Yetzer Hara has in his book, is to convince you that if you don't feel something, it's not there. That's his biggest trick. He tells you, you don't feel it. What does feel mean? Feel today means I have to touch it. I have to be aware of it. But it's not there. The biggest chiddush is that the Yetzer gets away with this trick. Because basic psychology, if you speak to psychologists, basic psychology will tell you that there are so many things that a person feels that he's unaware of. That's what psychology is all about. All those deep-rooted things, you know, that they try to unearth. So Rabbi Yisrael actually says it. Rabbi Yisrael says it in Eitz Pri. He says it in other places too, but it's elaborated very nicely in a part of it. It's in the New Or Yisrael's. You won't find it in most of the Eretz Yisraels. The newest Eretz Yisraels, the black Eretz Yisraels, had a reprint of the Eitz Pri. It was also an Evan Yisrael. The Eitz Pri was printed. It was actually Rabbi Yisrael, the Altar of Slobodka. It's very fascinating. It's good to look at it. The Altar of Slobodka wrote over, in his, I guess, his own words, notes from Rabbi Yisrael. So one of the things he mentions there, and this is mentioned in his letters too, is that it's a fascinating thing. He says you have somebody who has a Talmud, and he has a son. His Talmud he loves like the apple of his eye. He loves him. He'll do anything for his Talmud. Anything. And his son, he hates. He hates him so much. He wishes his son was in a different city. He hates him. Tachlis hasina, he says. It's hard to imagine such a thing, but he hates his son. He loves his Talmud, he hates his son. And clearly throughout the year, he will do everything to avoid his son. He'll do everything to try to, who knows what. And his Talmud, he does everything for. He goes out of his way for. That's the way he acts. Then he goes to sleep. And in the middle of the night, a fire breaks out in the town. It happens to be the son, much to the misfortune of the father, the son lives right next to his closest Talmud. Well, so a fire breaks out, and both houses are burning. And they wake up the father. So what do you think is going to happen? So I would assume, well, he's not faking, he really hates his son. So I would assume he'd run to save his Talmud. He says, if they wake him up and they tell him there's a fire, and they tell him it's burning down the whole town, he'll run and he'll save the son before he'll save the Talmud. Makes no sense. Why? So Rabbi Yisrael says, because there he calls them kochos chitzonim and kochos pnimim. There are certain kochos that are, they're not superficial, by the way. The chitzonim, the one that love that he had for the Talmud and the hatred he had for his son, is not superficial. It's real, but it's conscious. It functions on a totally different plane. Then there's another area. We're almost like split personalities, Rav Osler. The human being, Rav Osler, is like a split personality. There's what we do on a conscious level. And again, it's not superficial. It's very real. And then there's something that happens on a subconscious level. Kochos pnimim. Those things on a subconscious level are there. They're there. And they function. And they operate. And sometimes they lay dormant for a while. So for an example, in this case, the conscious love that he had for the Talmud overpowered any of the subconscious feelings that he had for his son. However, there are certain points where when you know he woke up from his nap, so the conscious wasn't working so well. So the subconscious came out, boom! He goes and saves his son as opposed to his Talmud. So Rabbi Yisrael says there are many, many things that are happening under the surface. So Rabbi Yisrael, so the notion that we don't feel, it's very important not to get caught in that. Because you say, well, you could say, I don't know if I feel. But you can't know that you don't feel. Because feeling, it's very short-sighted and simple-minded to say that feeling only means something that I'm aware of. Something that, like, right now, like I feel, a person loves his parents, loves his family members, right? Right now, do you feel this tremendous love? Does anybody in this room feel this? Oh, I have such tremendous love for my family. You don't feel it. Do you feel it? Can you just conjure it up and say, oh, let me just think about my family. Oh, I have such love. Right? But it's there. It's there. Where does it come out? So it comes out in different sort of situations, right? Comes out. It translates sometimes into action. You don't necessarily even feel it, but somehow you're doing things, right, for a family member because you do have that feeling in there. So Rabbi says, so that's step one. Step one is very important to understand. And this is a very difficult thing for people. I think that's what you were alluding to when you say they want to feel good, right? People want to feel this connection, this relationship, The problem is that that's the problem. They think they need to feel it. You know, we're very, very affected by the world we live in. Everything you have to see, If you don't see it, it's not there. But we know that's not true. There's so many things. If you had vision, if you had microscopic vision, and you look around this room right now, you'd probably jump out of your chair. You probably wouldn't touch the table because you don't imagine how much bacteria is floating around here. You wouldn't touch anything. There are people who don't touch shopping carts. They definitely don't put food in them because you don't know what's growing in there in your shopping cart. Right? So there are a lot of things we don't see. Doesn't mean they're not there. That's number one. It's very important to understand that. The second thing Rav says is hard. So what do we do? Lamaisa. So, okay, but there is such a thing called hergish, right? Hergation. You know, there is such a thing. Person has a hergish. We don't say person has, there's emotion. There is such a thing. But a person davens, right? There is supposed to be some hergish that comes out to some degree. You should be able to see that. So, you know, people say it's very nice, but like, I don't see that relationship. It's very nice. You tell me it's there. It's very nice. I feel it. I don't feel it. What does it help? So I have a big kasha. I don't understand what you have to run to Uman to develop a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have a kasha, a very simple question. I never understood this. What does it mean? I tell myself, I don't have a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, you know, I get up in the morning, and I'm breathing. I have a roof over my head. I had breakfast. Let's go throughout the day, every step of the day. Right? We take everything for granted. You know, I'm walking, I'm this, I'm that. So I have a kasha. Someone's giving you all these wonderful things. Right? So how can you say you don't have a relationship? What does it mean I don't have a relationship? What does it mean I don't have a relationship? I don't have a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave me this. Giving me constantly. Everything that I have, every single thing that I have, He's giving me. He's right here. He's giving it to me. Right? Snapshot. He dropped it off somewhere, in the front of the yeshiva, and go pick it up. You know, He's giving everything to me constantly. Right? Every single thing. We can go through, start going through every chesed that a person has. So what does it mean a person says I don't have a relationship with Hashem? Is that true? There's an intimate relationship with each and every one of us as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is, Rabbi, the real problem is that we're not aware of it because we take so many things for granted. That's really the problem. We take so many things for granted. We have everything, Rabbi, and we deserve everything. That's really the problem. Our biggest problem today, Kol Tovava says in Shaar B'Tachon. He says as follows. He says, imagine, wouldn't it be such a great thing if Hashem could put us in this world and we wouldn't be bothered with the tirda of Parnassa? We wouldn't be bothered. Wouldn't it be such a great thing? But people wouldn't have to worry anything. You go outside, Chais, you need something. You go out to the tree over here right outside the yeshiva, and you pluck it off the tree. Right? Everything. You need a shirt. You pluck it off the tree. You need pants. You need socks. They have different type of styles, different trees, different brand name trees. You have everything you want. Imagine. Couldn't it be unbelievable? You wouldn't have to work for it. It would be such a wonderful thing. It would be plenty of time to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Could you imagine such a world? Like, what do we need this for? People slave. It's so difficult, you might think, at this stage, you might think it's enjoyable, or both sides. People slave for money. You might think it's enjoyable, it's productive. So I'm not saying there isn't a certain benefit in sipuk that people get from it. But lamaisa, after everything's said and done, when you have to pay the bills, no matter who it is, you have to pay the bills and the business. And you have to understand in a business, the more and more, you can't just have a business. I make money, okay, I'll leave it and let it just work on its own. You have to constantly be improving on it. If you're not, otherwise you'll sink. Right? Otherwise, you'd be like Kmart. Guys even know what Kmart is. You'd be like Kmart. Kmart was an unbelievable chain, right? They just couldn't do it. They couldn't keep up. So you always have to be keeping up. Tirda Parnassa, that's not so simple. You can't sleep at night. Guy has 102 fever. He's got to go into work. He can't. He can't leave it alone. If we leave it alone, it might go under. Taka might. So what do we need all that for? Wouldn't it be so much better? We enjoy life so much more if we enjoy the Vela Serve Hashem. So Kolozov says two things. The first thing he says is that Hashem did it as a means to test us. What do we mean test? A means for us to earn our schar. That's what we're here for. We're here to earn schar. So by Parnassa is a way that Hashem tests us, meaning if we do it the right way, we're honest. You know, it's not so easy to be honest in business, Rav Ossai, to be honest in business, you know. We do everything in the right way, in the right time. We don't hurt people, whatever it is. A person does that, so that's how he'll get schar. And unfortunately, if he doesn't, you know, so then he doesn't reap his reward, right? So that's number one. That's the first thing. It's part of everything else that Hashem created the world in order to assure schar. Then he says another thing, which is very fascinating. He says like this. He says, if a person would be free and have nothing to do, and wouldn't have parnasa, wouldn't mean have nothing to do, by the way. He'd be busy. He'd be occupied. Let's say he'd be learning. He'd be involved in mitzvahs. He'd be involved in chesed. He'd be busy, right? But without tirdas of parnasa, without that all and that burden, he would be really free, and ultimately he would be inclined to do averos. It's because a person is so busy and so burdened, right? It's hard to go do averos when you're so burdened with so many things. That's the first thing he says. Then he says, second thing. Second thing is that if you had everything you wanted, he says, what would happen is we would, because we're so happy and because we're so satisfied, he said, we would rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We would feel that we deserve it. It's ours. We deserve it. And Mimela, we would rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard to understand. Rebel against. Imagine if a person was learning, he's doing mitzvahs. That's what he's focusing his whole life on. He just doesn't have the Ola Parnassa. So what's the problem? The problem is he has everything. And if he has everything, he doesn't need anything. So then he automatically feels that he deserves it. And he doesn't need Hashem. He says that's human nature. That's human nature. So one of the biggest problems, Rav Ossai, I think, that we have, and that's why we feel many times that we're missing this relationship, this is the way the world feels, we all feel this way, right, is because Baruch Hashem, it's very beautiful, it's a tremendous, tremendous chesed, that we have so much, Rav Ossai. We have more than probably, I wonder if we have more than any other generation in the history of Klal Yisrael, history of the world, really. Why do I say that? Of course, there are always people who were very wealthy and had things. But, you know, you think about it a minute. Listen to this. I just realized this the other day. Do you realize that we are better off than the people who ate mun in the desert? So how could that be? People ate mun. You take a piece of mun, you think about what you want to taste, and that's what it tastes like. Great. Could it be anything better than that? Much better. I will say, what tastes did they think of when they were in the desert? They didn't have hot and spicy. They didn't have sweet hot and spicy. They didn't have, we could have purple, and we could have green, and we could have sprinkles, and all these different things. They didn't have all that. All these different tastes, they come up with these new tastes. Right? There's no such thing. Sweet and sour. No such thing. You think your great your ancestors made sweet and sour meatballs in the desert? Right? In Mitzrayim, they had sweet and sour meatballs. I mean, what could you think of already? I don't know. Okay, chicken. They can think of chicken. They can think of meat. But what kind of gravy, right? I mean, it's unbelievable, Rabosa. You don't realize what we have. It's mind-boggling what we have. We have everything we could imagine, right? Everything. It's mind-boggling what Hashem has given us. The problem is, because we have it, so the truth is, since we have it all, so what do we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? it's so ironic, but that's what happens, really. Because we have it, and we have it, you know, Baruch Hashem. You know, especially when I was younger, so like, I didn't really have to work hard for it. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, my parents supplied me with whatever I needed, and, you know, in the case, and I guess, I was going to say the yeshiva supplied, well, the yeshiva didn't supply too much what I needed. but in my days, we're both saying, all right, listen, Baruch Hashem, listen, you guys, you don't realize, I don't know if you, it's not, you may say it's a fancy breakfast, but you got two different types of bread, and get some eggs, and, you know, two different types of eggs, you know, it's unbelievable, you know? So I have everything. I have everything. So what do I need a Kadosh Baruch Hu for? If I have everything, what do I need Hashem? Right? That is human nature of us, you should realize. It's not pshat. A person shouldn't think, oh yeah, I must be an apikoros if I think that way. No. That's human nature. Chazal says that's why. You know what? You know what it means? It's human nature. Why is that human nature? How could that be human nature? It's very simple. Because the human being, we once talked about this, I think, the human being consists of a neshama and a guf. Right. Now you'll excuse me, Rabbi Osai. The guf is the behemah. Right? Our guf is almost no different. Not if I care. Worse. Kozo says it's even worse than a regular behemah. Right? In many ways we're worse than a behemah. Right? The guf is a behemah. You came down on this earth. Who's you? You are you. You, the thinking, feeling you is not your guf. Right? That's your neshama. Right? You're in a behemah. And the behemah, by the way, is the default power. In other words, the behemah comes first. Why? Because when you were a little baby, you didn't have any seichel. Right? You didn't have any seichel. The seichel wasn't strong. And the Yetzer Hara was powerful until you got a Yetzer Tov at age 13. Right? So basically, the default is the guf, right? So what do you expect? So it's not a pella why the human being has a tendency, right? When Hashem gives us everything, but Teretz is, I say to myself, what do I need Kadosh Baruch Hu? Because part of the habit of Teva is that, listen, this is the way I'm getting it. What's his name? Errol. Errol serves breakfast. All right, you know? Either it comes from Errol, maybe it comes from whoever's in charge of Errol, or maybe it comes from, you know, all right. But do I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me like he gave me in the Midbar, gives me man? I don't see that. Right? So it's very difficult. But the truth is, Rabosai, what we need to do is really chazer and find opportunities to review the most basic things. You don't have to run for schools. You don't have to run to Uman. Right? It's the basic things that we need to review. If we would review those things, we would see, we would be able to feel that relationship that we have. There is a relationship that each and every one of us has with Kadosh Baruch Hu. By the way, it's not collective. It's not sure. We have a relationship, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship with him. You know, I don't know about me, you know. It's a mistake. Because so Sharm quotes, says that, you know, the Gemara says the person is chayv to say that the whole world was created for him. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. The entire world was created just for you, for each and every individual person. So that means we have an intimate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees to each and every nuance of my needs. The funny thing is, the way we operate is it's only when you don't have it. When you don't have it, that's when you appreciate it. You know? It's true, I can tell you firsthand, you know? You get a little older, so now you have a little problems. I have a little trouble with my legs and my knees, you know. When I was younger, I'd take for granted. I could run, I could walk, I could, basic things for both sides. It's so difficult to be able to appreciate. It's very difficult to be able to appreciate. So we have to find opportunities to appreciate. We both say, if you want to have a great Rosh Hashanah, so the Torah tells me how to feel that connection that I have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah tells me how to do it. There are no difficult, highfalutin things you have to do. One would think you need to do. If you really want to feel a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know, you have to learn Kabbalah maybe. You have to learn Kabbalah. I don't know, you gotta find some sort of schoolers, you know. I don't know, you know. I don't know, maybe you have to open up the Aron Kodesh 15 times. I don't know what you have to do. You got to go maybe to all the Kvarim. I don't know, you got to do something. That's where you'll feel a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a connection. The Torah doesn't tell me that. The Torah tells me in Parshas Vayeschanan. Listen to this, Rav Osai. gotta find it. Torah says, "It's Hashem Elokecha Tira." I just gotta find it. It's Hashem Elokecha Tira. It's Pasuk Yud Parak Vav Pasuk Yud Gimel. It's Hashem Elokecha Tira, but also Savod Uvishmo Tishaveha. You should fear Hashem, serve Him Uvishmo Tishaveha. And you should, when you swear in His name. See what that means. So what does it mean? What does Ramban say? So Ramban goes through a number of different pshatim, and then he says, it's Hashem Elokecha Tira. O Yomar, it's Hashem Elokecha Tira. V'tiyah Yerasa, excuse me. Here. V'yipirish v'oso sa'avodu. As Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear Hashem. V'oso sa'avodu. What does it mean v'oso sa'avodu? You should serve Him. L'daitam, sh'tiyah lo b'chol eis, ke'evet akonui ha'mashares lifnei Adonov tomid. Sh'oso meleches rabo ikur v'tzorche atzmo aroi. A person should serve Hashem. This is the chiyuv the Ramban says that we have. The chiyuv is that we should serve Hashem like a servant who's serving his master. He's owned by his master. He's serving his master. Where he does meleches rabo ikur, where his understanding is that the job that he has for his master, that's the ikur. That's his ikur purpose. However, he has his own personal needs. Tzarche atzmo aroi. His own personal needs are temporary, meaning they're not the ikur, but he has his own personal needs. He's entitled to do things for himself, because that's part of him being an eved, right? But he's doing it for himself. But he understands that his main purpose is to serve his master. Ad sheyava mizeh. He should serve Hashem that way until, come from this, ma sheyomru v'chol ma'asecha yulu l'shem shemayim. From this attitude, I guess, from this practice of serving Hashem in a way, right, where you understand that the ikur is Hashem, the ikur service is Hashem, but, you know, I have my own personal needs, and that's fine. From there will come that you'll end up doing everything L'Shem Shemayim, meaning even your personal needs will be L'Shem Shemayim. And you'll reach a point where you will ultimately, your whole life will be, like the Pasuk says, Ahal Hashem b'chayai zamr l'kai b'odi. Your whole life will be a song, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi say, what's he saying? Listen to what he's saying. If a person wants to know, Kol Masecha Yul Hashem Shemayim, by the way, that level of everything Hashem Shemayim is the highest level. The Rambam says, that's not the Chiyuv, according to the Rambam. That's not the Chiyuv. It's a very high level. A level maybe of Nevuah. That everything you do is L'Shem Shemayim. And your whole life is like a symphony. It's a song, right? That's not your chiyuv. He says, what's your chiyuv? Your chiyuv is you should do meleches rabo ikur. You should serve Hashem, understand that that's the ikur. And your own personal needs are, you have personal needs, but they're not the ikur. Okay. From there, you'll achieve this level of kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim. That makes no sense. Why should that be? I'll ask anybody in this room. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't really believe, right? Who believes that the ikur is not, we know the ikur is to serve Hashem. We understand that's the ikur. But I own my own personal needs. The things I like to do, right? The things I like, I have my own things that I like. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that, right? So, everybody understands that. So what does that mean? If you do that, then you'll reach a level of high level of nivu. How's that possible? So the answer of Bosai is, the answer is, because I would think if you want to reach a level of Nivu, I don't know, you should do all these highfalutin things. I don't know what you should do. That's not what he says. The answer is, Rabosai, is it's the first parak Masilas Yashar. Basically, if we want to achieve high levels, we always look for all these different things to do, right, in order to achieve high levels. And it's sitting right in front of us. What is it? To go over the things that we know already. What do you mean, I know it already? What do I need to go over it for? Because I know it. Let me ask you a question. I know that the ikur is to serve Hashem, and my own needs are temporary. I know it, but how much do I know it? I know it, but there's knowing and there's knowing. It's a different sort of knowing, Rabbi Osai. It's a difference, right? That's what it is. You know, person goes to a Nebuch, person goes to a Levaya, right? So does it change us? No, it doesn't change us. Why? Because the Chafetz Chaim says, the person says, that's a club of dyers. I'm not in that club. It's a dying club, as Chafetz Chaim says, right? That's the power of the Yetzer Hara. The power of the Yetzer Hara is, even though we know that Melech is Rabu Zikr, but Lamaisa, when it boils down to it, right, in terms of our actions, it's very, there's knowing and there's knowing. So, therefore, what a person has to do is a person has to constantly be chazering the basics over and over. He said, come on, how much can I do that already? We're making a mistake for both sides. Because I can tell you there are things that I appreciate today that I knew 35 years ago, right? But I appreciate them. It's hard for me to even explain to you what I see differently than I saw 35 years ago. It's hard for me to even put into words. But I feel it. I appreciate it differently. And the more you appreciate it, the more you feel. So the real answer of both sides, the Rishiv used to always stress this very much at Elul. The answer is, if we want, and this is a process, it doesn't just happen in 1 year. It doesn't. Say, oh, come on, I'll cause the basics, you know, in a week or two, and by Rosh Hashanah, I should be able to feel like, I'm ready to go. It doesn't work that way. It takes time. It's very important for us to understand that's it. The first parak of Masilas Yesharim, the more and more we chazer the basics, if we try to focus on, we talked about, on appreciating and having gratitude for the things that we have, it's not so difficult to look around, Rabasi, and see there are things that we have that other people don't have. It's not a positive thing. If we would stop and we would focus, we would have a totally different, we'd realize we have an intimate relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, each and every one of us. Hashem takes care of your needs, every single aspect of your needs, every single second, for each and every person, separately. One thing, you and I, we're very different, right? Hashem takes care of each of our needs separately. If we would stop to think about it more and more, and again, it's very difficult to try to appreciate what we have and be grateful for. How do you do that? Look at other people and see there are people around you that don't have what you have. Look at it. Look at it, focus on it. Realize it's a gift. Hashem has given to you because He loves you. That's why He gives it to us. Hashem even gives it, even if we're not doing what He wants us to do. Even if we're not doing what He wants us to do. He loves us so much. He keeps on showering us. You can't rely on that forever. It has to always be a payback, you know. But Chavos always says, the person's going to have bitachon that Hashem is going to help him, even though he's not serving Hashem properly, Hashem will keep on helping him. He has to have such bitachon. It's just, he can have bitachon. The only problem is, there's going to be a payback. Eventually, you have to pay back. So, you know, so you can't rely on that forever, right? But Hashem loves us, He showers us with love. If we would focus on that, Rabbi, we'd realize we have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Say, but I'm not aware of it, okay? I'm not aware of it. Intellectually, I should be aware of it, because come on. Do you know, I don't know if anybody was at the Chasana last night, Rabbi said. If anybody was at the Chasana, do you know the place almost blew up? The place almost blew up yesterday. I'm being serious, really. We don't even realize. Constantly. We don't realize what's going on. Nisim. You know, and we don't work with Teva. The Jewish people don't work with Teva. The whole world works Alpi Teva. We're Lamalim, and Hashem functions with us, Shalapi Teva. So if the place is supposed to blow up, and we're there, it doesn't blow up. A propane tank was enveloped with flames, and it didn't blow up. And the fire extinguisher would put it out, wasn't there. It wasn't more working. So somebody finally ran out into the hall. Can you imagine? Ran out into the hall to get a fire extinguisher and put it out. It happened last night at the wedding hall. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such a thing? It happens all the time, though. You just don't know. You think it's just only there to struggle with those missiles, the missiles. It happens here all the time, constantly, every day, day in and day out. We're just not aware of it. We should look for those opportunities to appreciate it, right? Whether it be in our lives, Sometimes we see the chesed, you know, with a sibling, with a family member, with a friend. We see the chesed. Focus on it. Focus and realize that that's what's happening to me on a constant basis. So I have a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why Hashem says, come back to me. Hashem says it during El. He says to each and every, not just as collectively as a whole. He says to each and every one of us, come back to me. He makes it easier during El. Makes it easier than any other time of the year. So this is a time for both to focus on the most basic of things. Right? You don't need to run here. You don't need to run there. It's the basics for both. You know, the Yetzer wants us to go out of our way and try to find other things, because the most powerful things are these things. Are the most basic things. Hashem should bench you as Hashem. Hashem atzlocha as Hashem. Ksiru chesim atolam. You have a great, great zman. It's mamish beautiful to see you guys. You don't realize, you know, I was in the same position many, many, many moons ago. You know, it's so exciting to see you guys like sitting, doing. You don't realize what you guys are doing. Look at the whole world. Look where everybody's going. Everybody go here, everybody there. And you guys are here. Unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. You could be in the pool, right? You're here. Shri Matzliach, Rav Asai. Kol Tov.